This is Pastor Greg Cumbie from Our Savior Lutheran Church, 2800 Millwood Pike, Winchester, Virginia, and we welcome you to our weekly broadcast here on News Talk 1400.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise Him, for He is thy help and salvation. Join the full throng, wake harp and psalter and song. Sound forth in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord, who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth, who as on wings of an eagle uplifteth, sustaineth. Hast thou not seen desires all have been granted in what He ordained. Praise to the Lord, who hath fearfully, wondrously made thee. Health hath vouchsafed, and when heedlessly falling hath saved. What need or grief ever hath failed of relief, rings of His mercy did shade thee. Praise to the Lord, who doth prosper thy work and defend thee, who from the heavens the streams of mercy doth send thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do, who with His love doth befriend thee. Praise to the Lord, O let all that is in me adore. People again, gladly for they we adore Him.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. While few men have had more written about them than Martin Luther, there is surprisingly little written about the last days of his life. One of the only noteworthy items from his last days come from a scrap of paper that his closest friends found in his coat pocket. In this note, Luther had written two short phrases, the first in Latin, the second in German, and it says the same thing: "This is true, we are all beggars." This is true, we are all beggars. So what had this man, whom God had chosen as a special instrument to reform the church, this German monk through whom God had brought the mighty Church of Rome to its knees, and this pastor to whom God had granted extraordinary gifts to translate, interpret, communicate, and rightly divide the word of truth, what had he concluded after a lifetime of that level of accomplishment? What he concluded was the same thing Paul did, that he and we all are nothing more than beggars before a holy and a gracious God. You and I can do nothing but cry to Jesus, who must do nothing to receive His gifts and to joyfully follow Him. It was just days before Holy Week, before Jesus would march into Jerusalem to the shouts of Hosanna, and then march out by the cries of "Crucify Him." Mark picks up his account as Jesus was passing through the city of Jericho. It's perhaps the most ancient city in the world, a city about 15 miles from Jerusalem. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving a city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, simply means the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. Blindness is a difficult affliction in any age, but it was especially difficult in the ancient world, like first century Israel. There were no guide dogs. There was no talking traffic lights. There was no Braille language, no specialized schools or homes or services. And because no one would hire them to work, they were almost inevitably left to beg for their daily bread. But that was not the worst part, at least from my perspective. To add insult to injury, the blind also lived under a deep social stigma of a bad Jewish theology, theological. And theology always has consequences. It's not abstract, it's concrete. At that time, Jewish theology taught that their blindness had to be God's punishment for some great sin either they or their parents had committed. And remember, Jesus challenged this. So these were the conditions under which Bartimaeus lived. He may have been blind, but he was under no illusion. He knew that he was completely dependent upon the mercy of others for his very existence. But as blind as Bartimaeus was, there was one thing that by God's grace he could see more clearly than many who had 20/20 vision. He was unable to work, unable to get to the temple by himself to present any sacrifices, but his ears worked just fine, and I would say perhaps especially fine, and he used them. And what he heard was people talking about this amazing man, Jesus of Nazareth, who had traveled throughout Israel preaching a message of God's grace and mercy and forgiveness of sinners, a message that Jewish teachers at this time had all but lost. But most intriguing, he heard of miracles of healing that people had never seen before. Over and over and over again, he would have heard, "I saw Jesus heal someone." And while many people saw nothing more than a man, the son of Joseph and Mary, Bartimaeus knew by the grace of the Holy Spirit that this Jesus was the promised Messiah, the Son of God who God had promised King David 1,000 years earlier, who would establish God's kingdom on earth and rescue his people from the misery of sin. Because Bartimaeus believed that this is the one man in the entire universe who could help him, he began to desperately shout out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And one can learn a lot from handicapped persons, and in this case, a blind beggar. First, while our world is convinced that seeing is believing, Bartimaeus turns it on its head by teaching us that believing is actually seeing. Now you can just think about it. At least some of those in that crowd in Jericho saw Jesus' miracles with their own eyes. They saw people they knew were mute from infancy speak. And we know for certain that many of the Jewish leaders who crucified Jesus personally witnessed his miracles. And how much spiritual good did that do them? Apart from the Holy Spirit, none. They still did not believe that he was the Son of God, the promised Savior, no matter how many miracles Jesus would do. And so it reminds us that faith does not really come from seeing. Faith comes from hearing with our ears a message in Romans 10:17. And still today, as important as art is, saving faith is never based on pictures. It is based upon words. In absolution, I cannot show you a list of every sin that you and I have been cleansed from. All you can do is trust in the words of Jesus' promise in John 20:23. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. So in baptism today, to the eyes of any unbelieving visitor who may for whatever reason be among us, and they're always welcome, nothing really that dramatic happened other than a baby got wet. But under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Peter declares the impossible just happened. Namely, that God attaches saving faith with the water and the word so that baptism now saves you. To an unbeliever, the bread and wine that you and I will receive shortly look like normal bread and wine. But they do not believe the words of consecration of Jesus, that once we say them, Jesus makes it his body and his blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. And so many are waiting and demanding, saying, if I just had enough proof, I would be a Christian. No, they would not. And they're going to be waiting all the way until judgment. The only thing they see is Jesus' wrath at their unbelief. And so let's learn from Bartimaeus, hearing is believing, and believing is seeing. Second, whether we care to admit it or not, you and I are all like Bartimaeus. We are all beggars before God. Scripture is crystal clear in teaching that spiritually, you and I are completely helpless to save ourselves. We are conceived and born without true fear in God or faith in God. We are dead to sin, blind to the gospel, enemies of God. And left to our own devices, you and I cannot even obey the least of God's commands, much less obey all of them to the perfect standard that God demands. And so that little piece of paper that Luther had when he died, that we are all miserable beggars before God, who could do nothing but cry for mercy, I believe pretty clearly is referring to this text. It's no coincidence that one of the first things we do every week is to sing or say the words of the Kyrie, Lord, have mercy upon us. These words not only remind us weekly, and we need reminding, that we are all beggars, they remind us just as importantly as who is serving who in the worship service. And this is something we really have that's very different than broad evangelical contemporary services. We're not coming here to impress God or to serve God. We serve God during the week. Lutherans come to church to be served by Jesus. And that affects the way we do worship dramatically. And by that I mean the vast majority of broad evangelical services in our country are always based upon what is the sinner doing to initiate action with God, believing something, praying something, walking an aisle, singing a hymn, whatever it may be. When you look at it at its core, and what they're doing and why they're doing it, in many ways, the foundation of it is our good works. Now, I would add they would believe it's works animated by the Holy Spirit, but still, it's primarily us serving God. The Lutheran liturgy is completely opposite and is based upon God serving us. The entire service from beginning to end is grace-based. And so we can't go any further into this, but liturgy matters because liturgy conveys theology. Liturgy matters. Bartimaeus believed he needed Jesus to serve him. And so he ignored the crowd completely, their attempts to silence him, and he began to shout out all the more, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Jesus stopped and called him. Now, some would think that Jesus would have better things to do, more important people to see, preparations to make as he was walking this lonely road to the cross than to be bothered by one of thousands of miserable, blind beggars. In times of suffering and weakness and despair and depression, people often think that Jesus has far better things to do than to concern himself with our problems. But if we think that, we would be wrong, because Scripture tells us we're wrong. The Bible tells us that there is no problem that is too big and no believer who is too small for Jesus, because Jesus came to seek and to save what was lost. Jesus is interested in all of your concerns and petitions. Jesus came to hear and to help all beggars like Bartimaeus, like Luther, like you, and like me. Well, Bartimaeus did not waste any time. Throwing his cloak aside, and that's significant, he jumped on his feet and came to Jesus. Now, you have to remember that for a beggar, that cloak was quite possibly the only earthly possession he had. It was a roof over his head. It was the mattress under his back. It was his shade tree. It was his pantry. But at Jesus' invitation, he instantly threw it all away to run to Jesus, who he believed could give him everything that he needed and more. This man would let absolutely nothing to keep him from Jesus. And when we look at it again, we see this example of being hindered. What is it that hinders you and I from throwing ourselves upon Christ? We too have a standing invitation, Matthew 11, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Well, perhaps the most common thing with people, at least I've seen, is pride getting in the way. God hates human pride with an absolute passion. Pride is the mentality, "Thank you, Lord, I can handle this by myself with my own resources apart from you." For other people, it's embarrassment that gets in the way. People do not want to come and ask God or beg to God for anything. Is an unhealthy trust in worldly distractions keeping you from Jesus? It could be doubt or unbelief. Maybe you're thinking, Jesus could not possibly help me in my situation, ignoring the fact that perhaps millions of Christians have been in very similar situations as you. Or maybe it's guilt or shame. Jesus knows what I've said and done and thought. Why on earth would he ever help a miserable sinner like me? Whatever it is, and I deal with this weekly, and some weeks it's on a daily basis, hear my words. When a works-based Christian comes to Jesus for help, the defining mark in a pastor's eyes is this: it's all about them. The whole world is revolving around them. All they can do is talk about, "Pastor, this is my unworthiness or worthiness." It's all about them. But when a grace-based Christian comes for help, the difference is they know it has nothing to do with them. All they're bringing to the equation is their sin. It's all about Jesus and his mercy and his power and his promises and his love. It's all about Jesus. And so we are all beggars with nothing to offer and everything to ask, and Jesus promises that he will always welcome true beggars. And here's the proof. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus said. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." And if you think about it, it took quite a bit of courage, in my opinion, to even make that request. Bartimaeus is not publicly asking for a ride to the next town, or money, or food. He's publicly asking for an impossible miracle that defies the laws of nature. But he was absolutely convinced this was God's son standing before him. The son of David, God had promised he would come specifically to open the eyes of the blind and to release those who sit in darkness. That's exactly what Isaiah tells us in chapter 42. And so Jesus answered Bartimaeus' bold and impossible request by saying, "Go, your faith has healed you." And so Jesus, the son of David, gave Bartimaeus the beggar an impossible gift of his sight. A more literal translation would be, "Your faith saved you." Bartimaeus' faith, which was a gift of God, healed and saved him for one simple reason. It led him to the only one who could heal him. Bartimaeus' faith was nothing more or less than a beggar opening his hand, receiving the gifts that Jesus would graciously give. His faith only saved him because, to put it directly, he was begging to the right person. Saving, healing, justifying faith is not a good work. It doesn't do anything. Saving faith simply receives what Jesus freely gives. And Bartimaeus' faith, we read in the final verse, did not stop there. He followed Jesus along the road as a true disciple. It's still just days before Holy Week. Jesus is on the road to Jerusalem, which Bartimaeus was certainly aware of the fact that Jesus was marching into a place full of enemies. Jesus' road led him to the cross. It led to suffering and pain and persecution, not only to Jesus, but to everyone who was bold enough to follow him and to confess his name. But Bartimaeus did it, because even though he would no longer have to beg daily for his bread, he still needed Jesus to suffer and to die for his sins. He was still a spiritual beggar, and he needed only what Jesus could give him. So in closing, Luther was right. All true Christians are beggars. Beggars who can do nothing but cry for mercy, and must do nothing but receive what he wants to give you, and beggars who joyfully want to follow Jesus to everlasting life. Thank God that Christ has the time and mercy and abundance for beggars like you and like me. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the weekly broadcast from Our Savior Lutheran Church in Winchester, Virginia. For more information, you can find us online at oursavior-lcms.org. We invite you to join us next Sunday at 8:30 a.m. here on News Talk 1400.